This is the Unfiltered Union.
I'm Linz.
And I'm Russ.
Here is this week's episode. So, I had a revelation today.
That's kind of an inappropriate start.
Okay.
Revelations.
We'll get there. Today, a few weeks ago, you mentioned having ice cream shower. Shower ice cream.
Yeah, 100%.
As a way to cool off.
Very, very smart idea.
I'm going to one-up you.
I doubt that's going to happen, but let me hear it.
Iced coffee in the shower.
That sounds pretty good.
I was so excited. It was so good.
So did you take a cold shower with iced coffee to cool off? Because, I mean, cold water in Florida is like 90 degrees.
No. What? I'm one of those girls that takes hot showers. I can't help it.
So you did lava.
Right. I did lava, but I had my iced coffee. So it like counterbalanced.
It's like driving around with the AC on and the windows down.
Yeah, it's awesome.
No, it isn't.
Why?
Because it's a waste.
Someone said you're letting the bot air out.
Yeah.
Oh.
Robo air?
That makes sense. You good?
No. I'm just not feeling it today.
I can tell. Shoot. Good grief. Well, I think it was a great idea to have iced coffee in the
shower. It's a good idea, but it does not. You said you one-upped me, and I don't think that's a one-up.
Oh, I 100% think it's a one-up. I don't like ice cream.
Yeah, but that's your funk.
Everybody likes iced coffee. If you're a millennial, you're drinking iced coffee.
If you're a human, you're eating ice cream.
That's not true. I prefer cookies. Cookies are the superior dessert.
Okay, one person in the whole world.
Okay. I'm sure lactose intolerant people agree with me.
No, I bet you they still like ice cream. They just can't eat it.
Fine. The whole point in today's podcast is not about shower ice cream or shower coffee. We're going to interview some fine people, but we're going to start first and talk about Bitcoin.
Why Bitcoin?
I don't know. So Bitcoin all started with a 9-page white paper, yes. Right?
Satoshi Nakamoto released a 9-page white paper in 2009, I believe is what it was, and outlined a peer-to-peer cash, digital cash system.
The fact that you just said all that while staring off into the distance was kind of impressive.
It's a passion of mine.
I hear you. But the idea that Bitcoin is based off a 9-page white paper when it is this very complex theory.
Yeah. It's complex, but it's also simple at the same time.
You can't. You can't. That's like saying the Rubik's cubes are complex but simple. They're not.
Well, the Bitcoin itself is simple as in like it to me, understanding Bitcoin itself is not difficult. Understanding the capabilities of Bitcoin, that's where it starts getting complex.
If you say so.
That's why we are interviewing the people we are interviewing today.
Well, it just blows my mind. Like a 9-page white paper is what we are going to, or what some people are basing all of their wealth off of.
Right.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, it's
not crazy like you're insane, but like that's a big concept shrunk down to 9 pages and you're betting all of your wealth on it.
Well, it's either that or you bet your wealth on a system that's been broken for a very long time, which is our standard financial system that's currently destroying families, lives, jobs, everything.
Mic drop.
Well, that, I mean, that's why I was interested in interviewing this power couple.
Yeah.
That we're bringing on today.
Well, first of all, when we talked about Bitcoin, just you and me way back then, you were trying to convince me into buying it.
Yeah, don't right? you regret saying no.
When was that?
About 2010-ish.
Was it?
Yeah.
So after the white paper came out, you had decided, or you started researching it, you found it, and you were like, oh, we should get it. And I was like, that's fake.
Yeah, right. Well, and plus, back then it was a lot harder to buy it than it is now.
Okay.
It was like, there was such strange, weird ways to go about it. And back then it was kind of, doing online transactions, a lot of people were hesitant because of fraud and all that, which look at us now. That's all we do.
Right? DoorDash, here's my money. But I think the individuals, like you mentioned, that we are going to discuss or meet today, they produced a movie called God Bless Bitcoin. And these individuals, Brian and Kelly Estes, are going to be our interviewees today.
They are. And just before we break down into this, I wanted to fact check myself. The Bitcoin white paper was released on October 31st in 2008.
Dang.
So not 2009. I was mistaken.
How dare you?
What? I'm human.
Gosh.
I eat ice cream in the shower.
I have iced coffee in the shower. But Brian and Kelly Estes for the God Bless Bitcoin movie.
Yes.
We watched it.
It was amazing.
It has really good production value for being almost like a documentary.
Right. I think that's kind of part of what has been missing for Bitcoin adoption was these types of movies and documentaries. People, I guess they, a lot of people don't take it seriously enough yet, but I think these types of films are going to bring more seriousness to the conversation. It's like people are spending money to promote Bitcoin now, like a lot of money. This film was amazingly done.
Mm-hmm.
It had a lot of people in it. It had Mark Cuban in it. It had Tony Hawk in it talking about Bitcoin and why it can change the world. RFK Jr. was in it.
You know who wasn't in it?
Who?
Was Elon in it?
No.
I'm surprised.
I'm not. I don't know. He's kind of I'm not going to say he's wishy-washy on Bitcoin, but he pushes some shit coins. Yeah.
Dog, whatever it's called.
Yeah, he pushes that kind of stuff, which is... He can do whatever he wants. But
obviously.
It's yeah.
But I mean, overall, I think what I hope to get out of the interview today is to talk to them about like what drove them to this. And then there's a lot of theming around religion.
Yeah. I thought that was really cool.
Mm-hmm. But it's not just one secular religion, right? They cover the big ones, right? Right.
Buddhism, Islam, Christianity, and Judaism, right?
Yep. Yeah. All of those all have a representative from that religious sect and giving their point of view on Bitcoin. Like, that's it. That's an interesting perspective.
Yeah, they wove, you know, scripture into the scenes and the scene changes and then talked about how the scripture applies to Bitcoin. It was really good.
Mm-hmm.
It was really good. It surprised the heck out of me because I'm always used to watching these like Bitcoin low budget stuff.
Yeah.
Shows and movies. But this one was exceeded my expectations.
Absolutely. It was very good. So I think overarching for the interview, like ask them, you know, what drove them to the film and the religious theme. What are your goals for the interview with them?
Well, my goals for the interview is to kind of show people that it's not just a fad or some pyramid scheme. It's not. I think we have a lot of normies listening to the podcast. And
I'm one of them. Let's be clear. Yeah, I don't know anything about this stuff. I'm learning.
You are. But the gravity of Bitcoin to change the world is so big that I think more people need to know about it.
Yeah, I think there's almost like a stigma around it, right? Like
drug dealers use it.
Well, not even just that. It's like. It's a cryptocurrency. Like it doesn't feel real, right? And the barrier to entry to it, like there's a lot of aspects to it that right now I think people just see it and are like, no. But I can't wait to talk to both Brian and Kelly and really dive into how people can adopt it and what that landscape looks like.
Yeah. You can't just print money out of thin air. Like the fact that you just said Bitcoin isn't real, but at the same breath, you use the US dollar every day in your life cracks me up.
Right.
Because that's not real either.
Right. That debt counter that they have in the government just keeps going.
Yeah. And they
just keeps going.
They just try to print their money or print our money into
oblivion.
Into oblivion. And the middle class is the class that gets hurt the most.
This is going to be fun.
Love you. Da, 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 da. Ryan and Kelly Estes. Hey there.
Hi. Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
We are well. We are well. Hope you
awesome.
Are.
Awesome. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm super excited about this interview.
Yeah, so are we.
Yes.
We're going to dive right in here and start with opening up our questions for you, Brian and Kelly. All things pertaining to God Bless Bitcoin and the movie that we actually recently watched and loved. Great production value. It was very well done. But we wanted to know, what drove you to make this film?
Yeah, I read a book 4 years ago called Thank God for Bitcoin, which is about the Christian view of money, ethics, and morality and how they intersect with Bitcoin. And I just got curious and I was like, what do the other religions say? And so I dove into, you know, what Judaism, you know, Islam, Buddhist, you know, Hinduism say about money and ethics. And that's where the idea came from. And yeah, you know, I was like, you know, I had this internal voice tell me I need to like tell the story. Like, what did I learn? And I've never written a book or made a movie and I'm terrible at telling stories. And so I asked Kelly for help. I was like, hey, can you help me develop this story and we'll make a movie and just share it with everybody. So what the movie is what was in my head and my heart, you know, and we made it and we put it on film.
So I have a master's degree in the teaching of writing, and I work all the time with students to help them get their story out. So he came to me to ask for help there. And why it was important to me is for the last almost, I guess, 15 years of my life, I have been working with students who've grown up in generational poverty. And I understand that the lack of financial literacy in our education system has put everyone at a disadvantage, but especially those who are the wage earner. And so it was important to me to help get his story out to help educate people.
Wow.
That's awesome.
That's powerful.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. Now we have a book to read.
Yeah. Exactly.
Very good book.
One thing after the other. So my favorite part of the film was how you did intertwine religion with Bitcoin. You don't really see that often. And what kind of drove you to do that? That aspect of it is in intertwining God and, you know, our monetary system.
Well, the whole point of it was to examine money through a moral and ethical lens. And the base layer of morals and ethics are the world's religions and their sacred scriptures. That is where we as humans are taught morality and ethics. And so we brought in experts across the world's religions. So for Christianity, both Protestant and Catholic, Judaism, Islam, Buddhism, and Hinduism to break open their words to see how we are to use money as we interact with each other and to reward each other for our God-given talents. And that was how we brought the two together.
Yeah, I learned so much in the aspects of the different religions and how they look at monetary value. Like that was eye-opening about how the religions really look at the monetary system and how it was built throughout religion.
Diluting your wine with water. I thought that was an amazing analogy. And it's wild to think about how polluted our monetary system has gotten over time.
Everybody everywhere is feeling the effects of inflation, but they don't understand what's really causing that. And what's causing it is the money printer. Every time a government prints more money and puts it in circulation, it dilutes our ability to purchase goods and services. So simply 6 years ago, if we'd had $1,000 in our savings account, today we would only be able to purchase $520 worth of goods and services, because in the United States, we've printed 48% more dollars in the last 6 years. And so that's different for every country, depending on how much they're printing. But it's
So the money that you earned 6 years ago, you know, you spent time and energy and your talent to earn that money. And now it only buys about half of what, you know, what it bought 6 years ago. And so that's not ethical. It's not moral to steal our time and our energy by doing that. And so Bitcoin stops that from happening. You can't print more Bitcoin. There's a finite supply. There's only 21 million Bitcoin. And so that's why it's a more ethical and moral form of money than print, this fiat system that we're on. And you have to remember the fiat system that we're on, it just started in 1971. Pre-1971, for the 3,000 years before that, we use gold and silver as money, and you can't print gold and silver. It requires proof of work. You have to go out and dig it out of the ground. And so when the governments got off the gold and silver standard in 1971, they haven't had the discipline to not print money. And that's what's causing the problems we see today.
That debt tracker, right? Just keeps going up.
Yeah.
It's terrifying.
Well, sticking with the idea of religion and Bitcoin for just a moment, like a lot of people, I think, have apprehension when you start talking about a global currency because of in religion, there's the mark of the beast, right? And some people say that a mark of the beast is going to take a form of monetary, or it could take a form of something on a person. Like there's different, different viewpoints on what that could be. And I've actually had some people say that, well, Bitcoin could be the mark of the beast. It's like, well, I feel like the way you guys answered that in the movie is clearly that this is a more ethical, more moral, and aligns with our values rather than it being something that would align with the quote unquote mark of the beast.
Right.
Right. It's funny. Right now at our church, we are studying the book of Revelation, and we just finished that portion about the mark of the beast. And so one thing that I think is very interesting is that when people talk about Bitcoin, they say it's the most perfect form of money humans have ever created, right? And because it has 21 million, it allows for us to live in the abundance of being rewarded for the amount of work that we put in. And so it is a better form of money than what we have now. If we understand the mark of the beast, that number is 666. That is the number just shy of perfection. God is perfection. Seven is the number that is associated with completion and it being perfect. The seventh day we rested, our God rested as we are to rest. And so if you think about it that way, the fact that the money, that Bitcoin is a better form of money than what we have, means that maybe it is closer to being a perfect form of money. Not saying that God blesses it, because in no way do I believe I am capable of understanding what God thinks or wants or has intended for us. I think the only thing we can do is look to his word. And if you look at Revelation, you will see that he says he will come like a thief in the night. We are not, the book of Revelation is not about signs that we are to interpret today. The book of Revelation is to remind us to be ever vigilant and to stay in his word, not to try to interpret signs of anything going on today in modern culture that applies to something that was talking about Roman culture.
Wow, that I love what you just said there, not to analyze anything for today and just live in the now, essentially, because I feel like a lot of society right now is scare tactics. But I digress on that topic.
Test it out. Sorry about that.
No, that was awesome. I really appreciate your answer on that. It that just brings so much perspective to, I think, the world that we currently live in.
And to go back to global money, we use gold and silver as global money for 3,000 years. So, Bitcoin's not the first global money.
True.
That's interesting.
Bitcoin's basically a digital version of gold. It's better than gold because it's more portable than gold. It's more divisible than gold. It's easy to verify, than gold. It's basically gold with wings on it.
Right. Right. Well, that's
hard to say that. That's really good.
Right.
Yeah. I like what you guys kind of put out there in the movie, how people fleeing oppressive regimes in their countries memorize your 12 words and you got portable family wealth. That's insane.
They can't take that from you.
Can't take that from you. Like if you have a gold bar in your pocket, that's your family's wealth. They're going to take that if you're fleeing some kind of oppressive government.
Look what happened in World War II with the Jews. They were, kicked out of, Europe and, they had to leave all their possessions behind. And if they tried taking something with them, it was confiscated at the border.
Exactly.
So, they were sewing gold into their clothes you know, and this way you don't have to do that. You just, you memorize the 12 words and no one even knows you have your money in your head.
Right. No, the perspective you guys have given on Bitcoin, I mean, is amazing. I think with the movie and everything that we've talked about so far, like it really, for someone who, what do we call me? A normie. Someone who hasn't really totally grasped the situation of Bitcoin, but I am appreciating the perspective. But I mean, what do you think would be like the steps needed to move the world into Bitcoin?
It's education. Only 1% of the world understands Bitcoin today. You know, about 50% of Americans own Bitcoin or have exposure to it. So in America, we're halfway there. It's projected by 2029. So just in 5 more years, 90% of Americans will own Bitcoin. But like I said, it's only 1% of the world today. So as the rest of the world becomes educated on what this technology could do, and all this is the software, all Bitcoin is the software, and it's freedom technology. And once people understand this technology and this freedom that this software enables, people will just opt into it, just like we opted into gold and silver 3,000 years ago. Before we use gold and silver, we as humans use salt and stones and wampum and beads as money. And then gold was discovered, and we were like, "Oh, this is better money than stones and shells and wampum." And so we use gold and silver for 3,000 years. And as this fiat system is failing today, we will opt in to the next system. And I don't think we're going back to gold, because I think we're going into the digital version of gold, which is called Bitcoin. And we'll just opt into it because it's the best form of money humans have ever created. It's better than gold, and we'll just opt into it naturally.
Well, I think that kind of goes into our next question too, because if we're saying that this is something that will naturally be opted into in almost like the next phase of the monetary system, then does that mean all other monetary systems would collapse? Because I think that would be kind of like a scary scenario for people who are looking at Bitcoin and saying, okay, so all other monetary systems, if we go to Bitcoin, does that mean these have to fail?
So collapse is seems like a volatile word, right? Collapse means like something that happens suddenly. The monetary system is not going to collapse. The monetary system will be, and we've already seen it, it's being debased. Our money is being debased. And here are some numbers to put that in perspective. Right now, there's $35 trillion of U.S. debt. We have what are called unfunded liabilities. The present value of those is $120 trillion. So these are future Social Security payments, Medicare payments, retirement payments to military. All these future payments over the next 30 years, if you add them up, the present value is $120 trillion, but really it's like $200 trillion of actual dollars. So we have to print that money over the next 30 years. We have to print $200 trillion. And what that means is if more money gets printed, then everything becomes more expensive because the dollars don't buy as much. And so a car that costs $50,000 today, in 30 years, it's going to be $500,000. Home that costs $500,000 today will cost $5 million in 30 years. And that's mathematical certainty because we have to print more money over the next 30 years to pay all these promises that we've made and we don't have the money for.
That's not just housing and cars. It's also food and
It's everything.
Yeah, necessities, the things that you need to live. I mean,
in food, the U.S. healthcare, college.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Heating.
Just to survive. And our work is the same. That's what bothers me. It's like, I still work just as hard as I did 6 years ago, but now it's worth less.
Now you have to work harder to be able to have the same purchasing power, which is why you're seeing more and more people with either side hustles or taking on 2 full-time jobs.
Right.
That's why we start the movie with the Brady Bunch. So it wasn't like that back in 1971 when the Brady Bunch was around. You had one spouse working, the other spouse staying at home, raising the kids. They had six kids, a dog, a maid off one.
Right.
Right. Right. And so you could do that, you know, back in 1971. The reason we can't do that today, the reason you have both parents working and they could barely afford one kid is because our money's broken. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been diluted. We're working just as hard and we're not getting the same benefit from that work. And Bitcoin fixes that. If you go and work and earn extra dollars and you store them in Bitcoin, that Bitcoin can't be diluted like your dollars could be diluted. So it keeps you up with inflation. It's like a shield. We put that shield in the movie. You know, it protects you against, you know, the long arm of inflation trying to grab your purchasing power.
Right, right, right.
I mean, you guys have given us great perspective today. I'm opening my mind to the world of Bitcoin. I mean, I think to, you know, kind of finish us off here, what do you hope that viewers gain from the movie? I think I can be kind of an example of that, opening my mind to Bitcoin. But ultimately, what do you hope your viewers gain from God Bless Bitcoin?
It's exactly what you just said. We hope that people who maybe have been leery of Bitcoin or don't understand it at all, are open. Just open your mind. I'm a teacher, so I believe knowledge is power. And if you can just keep an open mind and then use this as a springboard to go educate yourself more so that you become more comfortable with this new form of money, I would say our movie had done its job. And by the way, a really great resource for learning more about Bitcoin is hope.com. It has a space devoted entirely to education, and it has podcasts, it has links to classes you can take, it has articles, it has links to books you can study. And so it's a really great place to go next in your Bitcoin journey.
Wow.
Awesome.
Well, we can't thank you enough for your time today. We could talk to you guys for hours. Oh, we really could. So we hope to have you back.
Thanks for doing your homework. Your questions were so insightful, and we really appreciated your energy this morning. It was a great way for us to start too.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. We appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much. Hope to talk to you again.
Take care. Bye.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Thanks for listening to the Unfiltered Union. If you enjoyed this episode, click like and subscribe, and check out our merch on unfilteredunion.com. It's what you do with things you love.